I call this lesson from the inside out. And this is, I think, a very good illustration that I found about this. When you squeeze a toothpaste tube, it ends up taking its shape from the outside. It's being squeezed from the outside, and it eventually ends up being empty. There's nothing on the inside at all. On the other hand, you take an empty balloon, it has little shape at all at first, but as air is blown into it from the outside, it takes a new shape from the inside out. And it'll hold that shape as long as there's air in it. This illustrates the two choices each of us has for our lives. We can be squeezed by the forces of the world and allow them to shape our values, our attitudes, our beliefs, or we can be reshaped from the inside out by God acting through His Word. And those are the two choices, and the only two choices we have. Are we going to be like the tube of toothpaste and be squeezed by the world, the forces of the world, or are we going to change from the inside out by God through His Word? Our text tonight, as you probably already guessed, is Romans chapter 12. And we'll be looking briefly at the first 8 verses of that text. In each of these sections in Romans chapter 12, we'll be addressing the idea of being changed from the inside out. This text calls that transformation. Romans chapter 12, first of all, verse 1, we'll see our first point, and that is the reason for our transformation. The reason why we should be changed from the inside out. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He begins with that very important word, therefore. Therefore. Whenever we see that vital linking word, it is drawing a conclusion based upon what was said previously. He says the reason for the transformation is, the reason why you make a living sacrifice is the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? All of those wonderful provisions that God has made for you and I to be with Him in heaven. All of those provisions are the mercies of God because He didn't have to do any of those things. From the time sin entered the world in the garden, He did not have to make any sort of plan for us, any sort of means for us to be there with Him. He didn't have to do any of that. It's because of His mercy. So all of those things that He provided, from the garden all the way down to today, are those mercies. He had talked about mercies prior in this book as well. This isn't the first time He's mentioned it. He mentioned it back in Romans chapter 5. But He mentions that this is the basis for why we allow God to change us from the inside out. It's because we ponder and focus and think about the wonderful provisions He's made for us. And especially all of those that center upon Jesus Christ. So He says, I beseech you. Other translations have implore you. I appeal to you. One of them means that I beg you. So He says, I beg you to do this. I beg you to do what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This sacrifice has to be a willing sacrifice. A voluntary sacrifice. Sacrifice for it to have any significance at all, it must be willing. And every sacrifice, regardless of what kind the Bible talks about, involves a death. Some type of death is required for a sacrifice. Something must die. Something must die. Well, in Romans chapter 6, just prior to this, a few pages back in your Bible, Paul makes this connection to sacrifice. Romans chapter 6, and let's begin in verse 12. Paul writes, therefore, there's that great word again, Therefore, in verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What are you supposed to do? You're to use your body for righteousness, not for unrighteousness that leads to sin. Then we skip down to verse 19. He says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. He says, look at what you did in the past. You lived for sin, you lived for uncleanness, you lived for ungodliness. That's what you did in the past. That's how you lived in the past. He says, now you present your bodies a willing, living sacrifice. He says, that's what you need to do. Why? Because of the mercies of God. Because of those provisions He's made. That's why you do it. It's because of what He's done for you. Don't use your members for those things that lead to sin. Use them for those things that lead to holiness. So he says this living sacrifice is to be a holy sacrifice. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we know what the standard of that holiness is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 14... After telling them that they need to be sober, to gird up the loins of their mind, he tells them, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it's written, be holy for I am holy. In other words, the world is not to be our standard of morality. God is to be the standard of morality. When we look at what's right and wrong, when we look at what's good and evil, when we look at what's righteous and unrighteous, godly and ungodly, we look to one standard, and that's God. We don't look to the world to see if the world thinks it's okay. The world is usually wrong. So when God says, be holy for I am holy, He's setting the standard for those choices, for that morality. He says, I am the one to look for. God is the standard, not the world. So don't let the world squeeze you into following its values, because its values are worthless. God is to be the standard. And he says this is to be acceptable. Says this is an acceptable standard. Back again in our text in Romans 12, he says, make a living sacrifice, one that's holy and one that's acceptable to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's a critical verse talking about this. In verse 9, this is the verse prior to him talking about standing before the judgment seat of Christ. He says in verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Because ultimately, He's the only one that matters. That's it. There is no one else that matters. Since we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, it makes no difference about other people's standards. Because we're only going to answer to Him and no one else. Don't let the world squeeze you into its shape so that you look like the world. Because just like that tube of toothpaste, you'll end up being empty with nothing there of any value. So he says this is to be your reasonable service. Your service is to be rational, it's to be intelligent, it's to be sincere. So that sacrifice we make is to be a living sacrifice where it's dead to those passions of the world, dead to what the world follows, dead to the world's values and beliefs. It's to be voluntary. It's to be holy, where God is the standard of our morality, not the world. And it's to be acceptable to God. That's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. But all of this is because of God's mercies. So that's the reason for why we're transformed. Now the next verse tells us the how of transformation. It says in verse 2 of Romans 12, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world mold you into its way of thinking, into its way of acting, into its way of talking. Don't become like the nations around. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians quotes from the Old Testament where God says, come out from among them and be separate. We're not to have the same values and beliefs and attitudes that the world does. No wonder he said, come out from among them, be separate. Don't have those same values and same beliefs. He says you need to be distinctive. This is what the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, a great text in talking about not conforming to the world. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." You're to do what? You proclaim His praises because you once were in the same predicament the rest of the world was in. You were there, but you were called out of that world. At one point, you had the values of the world, the beliefs of the world, the attitudes of the world, but you were called out of that darkness. He said, you've been called out of darkness into that marvelous light. Well, the world's materialistic. And this is a perfect day to talk about the world being materialistic. You know, our society, probably as much as any society in the world, is based upon material things. Because that's how the world measures success. That's how our society measures success. Is by how much money you have, how many possessions you have, whether you're, quote, keeping up with the Joneses or not. But Jesus Himself said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And then He says why? Where moth and rust corrupts and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But Jesus says, don't be like the world. Don't let the world mold your thinking about what's successful and what's not. So don't be conformed, but rather be transformed. Have values and attitudes and beliefs based upon the Word. Well, the world doesn't believe in a standard of right and wrong. Well, don't be molded by the world. Don't be molded by the world. The world says, if it feels good, do it. And that's how a vast number of people in our society lives. That's not how Paul told us to live. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul told us just the opposite. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The last verse in that chapter flies in the face of if it feels good, do it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." He says, I have to discipline my body. I can't let myself say, if it feels good, do it. Paul says I have to discipline my body. I have to buffet my body daily. Otherwise, I won't be able to finish the race. So the world says there's no standard of right and wrong. Whereas the Bible says just the opposite. The world says there's many ways to God. There are many ways or paths to heaven. One is just as good as another. The world says no one should say that there's only one way. No one should say that there's only one correct way. Yet the Bible says just the opposite. Jesus himself said, I am the way. That's exclusive. It says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except by or through me. That's exclusive. The world says there's nothing that's exclusive. Jesus says, I'm exclusive. So don't let the world squeeze you into believing that there are many paths to heaven. That Jesus is just one of many. Don't let the world squeeze you into that mold. But Paul says, do this instead. Instead of being molded by the world, let God reshape your minds from the inside out. Notice it's your mind that's reshaped. Because it has to come from the inside out. Your mind has to be molded. Your mind has to be reshaped. Your mind has to be transformed. He says, if you do that, he says that you will prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, your lives will become an expression of that perfect will of God. Why? Because you've been transformed. You're not being squeezed by the world. You're being shaped by God through his word. And therefore, you show to the world what that perfect will of God is. And this renewing of the mind, again, it becomes or it starts on the inside and it's gradual. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, at the end of that chapter, Paul writes this in verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul writes, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What are we doing? We're being transformed into the same image. Instead of the world shaping us and squeezing us into its image, we're to be transformed into the image of Christ. Day after day after day, so that every time we look into the mirror, we look a little more like Christ and a little less like us. Or a little less like the world. And so we're gradually being transformed from the inside out into someone that looks and acts and behaves and thinks more and more like the Son. That's what we're to do. Don't let the world mold us. Let God mold us from the inside out. And that happens as we read God's Word, study God's Word, apply God's Word. So we've seen the reason for transformation, the mercies of God. We've seen the how of transformation. And now we're going to see the result of transformation. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The first thing we see as a result of transformation is that we have a proper estimate of who we are. we have a proper estimate of who we are. Now, a certain amount of self-confidence is needed for us to do the work. But it's not to come to the point of being pride. We're not to become proudful people. So someone who is transformed is not someone who's proud. But when we look at our society, we see how pride causes so many people to make the wrong decisions. He also says a result of transformation is that each Christian is to use their abilities and strengths for the body of Christ. The person who is being transformed into the image of Christ is using their lives, whatever they have, resources, opportunities, talents, abilities, to strengthen, to help, to assist the body of Christ. Whether it's teaching or ministering or encouraging or serving or giving or exhorting, leading, whatever it is, because we're all part of the same body and because we're being transformed into the image of the Son, we're using what we have for the sake of the body of Christ. So we have this image now. Here we have this person. And he's making choices. She's making choices. And the choices are about, what am I going to become like? Who am I going to become like? The easy route, the easy way is to let the world mold you, squeeze you, shape you into looking just like they look. Talking like they talk, thinking like they think, believing like they believe, having values like they have, attitudes like they have, so that you look just like them. Why? That's comfortable. It's comfortable. The world wants you to be like them, and then when you follow them and you fit in with the world, life is easy. But sticking out and not having the world's beliefs and values and attitudes and so forth is not easy. It's difficult. But that's the only way you're going to let your light shine is if you have different values and beliefs than the world. Because you're being changed from the inside out. You're not following what the world wants you to do. You're taking the hard path. But it's the hard path that's the narrow path, and it's the narrow path that leads to eternal life. It's the wide path, the easy path, the path of the world that leads to condemnation. Yeah, there's only two ways. There's only two choices. We're either going to be molded by the world or we're going to be molded by God. And that's it. Those are the only two choices. We can be squeezed by the world, its values and beliefs, or we can be renewed, transformed, reshaped from the inside out by God's Word. Decisions, decisions, decisions. You know what the world wants, and you know what God wants. Therefore, which decision will you make? Tonight, Travis will lead us an invitation song, and I encourage you that if you need to make a decision of any kind, that you won't wait until tomorrow, but that you'll do it as we stand and sing this song.